So the wedding of the Lamb comes after the judgment of the prostitute. Now, this creates problems again, and again, I'm not trying to bash one particular position, but the judgment of the prostitute happens before the wedding. The pre-tribulation position contends that when we are raptured here, we go to heaven and have the wedding of the Lamb during this period. But the judgment of the prostitute doesn't happen till out here. You see the problem with that. If we simply be very careful with the words, the chronology will unfold. Now, I know that there people that hold that position have very legitimate points on at other places, so I'm not saying this totally dismantles their position. I'm just saying I have a problem with that. It just doesn't seem to work out based on what is said. All right, verse 9, and we've already pointed out the fourth blessing. Go over to verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and generals and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great." This is after the return of Jesus, and I just want to point out to you that there are two great meals that are going to occur at the coming of Jesus. One is the wedding feast of the Lamb. You're blessed if you go to that, and here's why. You can either be blessed and go to the wedding feast of the Lamb, or you can be the main course at the great supper of God. You take your pick, okay? So I'd point that out. One of the most beautiful passages all of Revelation, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. And from this point, I want you to take notice of how many times from here through the first verse of chapter 21, John will use two simple words. I saw. Seven times he will tell us what he is seeing with his eyes. That's really interesting. That is exactly what he does in 1 John. That which I saw, that which I heard, that which I touched. He's telling us this is a real eyewitness account. And look what John gets to see. And remember the promise that Jesus made to John? That one of the disciples would not die until they saw him coming in the clouds of glory. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Is that not powerful? Doesn't it just send a chill through your spine? And John, bless his heart, he got to see it before it even happened. And he saw what's really going to happen when Jesus mounts the white steed and the armies of heaven gather with him, and he comes back to bring an end to this thing. Now, I want you to take note for further study of Isaiah 63. In fact, I think we'll just take time to go there. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1. Who is this coming from Edom, from Bozrah, with his garments stained crimson? Who is this robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. Why are your garments red like those of one treading the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, from the nations no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger and trod them down in my wrath. Their blood splattered my garments and stained all my clothing, for the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of redemption has come. Notice those last few words. The day of vengeance comes first before the year of redemption. All right, who is this? Let me just flip this map back over here real quickly. Who is this that is coming from Edom and Bozrah? understand that Edom and Bozrah are all in this area, out here in the wilderness, where we believe that they were originally during the 40 years of the wilderness stay, and also where they will be fleeing to. The Jews and believers will flee out in this area. Is it possible when Jesus returns that he returns this way, moving west, gathers his people, and comes to the precipice of the Mount of Olives, just like Zechariah chapter 14 says? Who is this person with his robe stained crimson? It is Jesus returning for us.